here on WBAI in New York. It started with an email, and I saw it really posted on the Indy Media site, IMC, the Independent Media Center, which has sites all over the world. And
yeah,
I happen to,
great job.
To check the Indy Media Center in Israel, in Tel Aviv, Israel. I got it on the 10th of October, and it says, Yesh Gvul, which means there is a border, there is a limit, a movement, pressure group of IDF soldiers that refuse to serve the occupation, informs that Noam Kuzar, a 19-year-old conscript in the IDF, was sentenced today to 28 days in military prison for refusing to participate in current IDF operations to repress the protest activity of Palestinians. When his unit was informed of a change in current training plans so as to reinforce IDF troops engaged in putting down the Palestinian revolt, Kuzar told his commanding officers yesterday that he would not in good conscience participate in such actions. He simply refused to get on the bus. During the last days, dozens of phone calls from regular and reserve soldiers and their families were received by Yesh Gvul activists, who think that if the confrontations continue, the number of soldiers that will... For further details, you can... I have Ron Kuzar. Jerusalem, I believe, in Israel. And I'd like to welcome you to WBAI in New York City. Ron Kuzar.
Good evening.
Hi,
hello.
How
good
are
evening.
You?
Welcome to the show.
I'm
good
Paul.
Evening.
Hi, how are you? My name is, again, Paul DiRienzo. My co-host is Ms. Joan Marie Moosey, Joan Moosey. And we have a panel here of distinguished guests and programmers here on WBAI, which is a real sort of people's radio station here in New York City that's been operating for over 40 years.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm his father, in case this was not clear.
I wasn't sure if I was going to say his brother, cousin, or whatever, so I was going to let
right.
you say that.
And I regret to tell you that no, so far he's been the only case. The situation is that a lot of people express sympathy, including soldiers, but to actually do this act, I guess takes a little more than just sympathy.
There may be a slight delay. I remember in the America during the Vietnam War, Howard Levy was a doctor, and he refused to teach medicine to the Green Berets, who were going to use it to. Ingratiate themselves with the population of Vietnam for the purposes of the military machine. And it was a very brave act, and he faced jail and loss of his medical degree, but after a slight lag, other people took courage from what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect that the same thing is likely to happen in Israel.
I think that the first stage would be that actual soldiers would refuse participate in the atrocities. What you're talking about is really the second stage, where soldiers, not even in combat units, would refuse to be part of the military machine. But I think we're very far from that at the moment.
What's the story about your son? What led him to take the position he did, and what happened to him?
Well, he went into the army knowing that he is going to refuse, and maybe that's the difference between soldiers who are now perhaps shocked by the events, but were not politically convinced before, and between somebody who goes prepared into the situation. He, unlike others who tried to get out of service, he went into service, but he decided that in no way will he participate in any act of oppression or to take part in the occupation. So when he was asked to get on the bus, he simply refused, just as you read on that internet site.
And what happened next? What was the procedure?
Well, he was sentenced to 28 days imprisonment, and this may happen again. We don't know. The Israeli army does not have a central policy in these cases. In the Lebanon War, 150 Israeli soldiers were imprisoned. Many more refused to go. This was all handled on the local level, and sometimes, even if it's centrally handled, the policy changes with the actual situation. Sometimes they take a case and decide to teach a lesson and make it an example case, and in other cases they just want to quiet it down because they don't want to show how many resistors there are.
How are they treating Noam's case?
They're treating Noam fine in jail. I have no complaints, and he didn't have any complaints. We saw him yesterday, I believe. No, the day before yesterday, we visited him in jail, and as far as the conditions are there, we have no complaints.
Mm-hmm. Where is he being held? What kind of jail?
He's being held in a military jail, and he's being held in a section that includes that has soldiers, short-term prisoners, so everything, in that respect, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm. And now, is Noam and yourself are activists within this group Yesh Gvul, right? There is a border, there is a limit?
We have not been activists in that particular group, but you understand that there are different issues mm-hmm. in Israel, and you can be active in different groups. I am a member of Yesh Gvul, and at the time during the Lebanon War, I myself refused to go. But I've been active in other organizations, and recently I haven't been active at all, but my opinions didn't change. It's time for the younger generation to take over activities.
The American newspaper, the Jewish Daily Forward, said that what it called the Israeli peaceniks were confused and without the kind of directionless at the moment. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, I think that's true. I think that to understand the situation in Israel, you have to understand that there are two large encampments. There is the camp of the right, who are simply expansionists and want all of Israel or as much as they can get. And then there is the camp that is called the peace camp, who view the situation as a negotiation between similar parties. In other words, we have a territorial dispute, and now let's meet somewhere in the middle. The truth is, and this is what the more radical left believes in Israel, that this is not the situation at all. Imagine that in the human rights struggle in the United States or in South Africa, the whites would come to the blacks and would say, well, let's meet halfway. Now, I know that all these situations are different, the human rights struggle in the United States, the apartheid in South Africa, and the occupation in Israel, but the principle is the same. You cannot go halfway in a situation of occupation.
You're either occupying or you're not.
Either you're occupying or you're not, and liberation has to be full.
Mm-hmm. What society do you foresee that Israel could become if it were to move in a progressive direction? What society should exist in the Middle East?
I'm not sure I understand
a socialist society where Palestinians and Israelis, Palestinians, Muslims and Jews, and Palestinians and Israelis exist in the same country, vote for the same in the same elections, or separate states, or do you have any specific view?
Personally, I don't really care. I think that what is important is that the nationalist issue is removed from the agenda so that social issues can be approached.
Right.
I think that there is no way to have two national states in the classical sense of national states, because Israel has a 20% Arab minority. So either case, the struggle for rights for the Arabs in Israel is going on, and this has been part of the events now.
I have a friend who says Jews and Arabs unite to smash the state.
Jews and Arabs? Sorry.
Unite to smash the state.
Well, this is, you know, you have to be realistic with your slogans. Maybe this works in a progressive radio station in New York. I'm afraid that here the immediate solution will be a two-state solution. This might not be the ideal solution, and I'm sure that national issues will continue to be the topic within Israel with the situation of the Israeli Arabs.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, too, because the involvement of Israel's Arab population, as you said, 20% of the population, it seems to be larger than in the past, the actual political involvement of people going in the streets and protesting right in Israel proper. Is that an unusual development, or is that something new?
Yes, it is a new development. In all previous clashes between Israel and other Arab states, and even during the Intifada of the 80s, the Israeli Arabs were pretty much loyal, obedient citizens, and they were not involved in mass action. And this is now a new situation. And the situation is confusing a bit because they're struggling at the same time to express solidarity with the Palestinians who across the Green Line and struggling for civil rights, which they have been denied all these years.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of are there any political parties operating in Israel, do you think, that are progressive in nature, that are in any way fighting for a progressive change?
I think that the only political party that has both Jews and Arabs in it, in a mutual struggle, is the front that is called Hadash. It means a democratic front for peace. Mm-hmm. It is based on the Communist Party, but it includes many other independent members who are not communists but participate in the same struggle.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your son, Noam Kuzar. We're speaking with Ron Kuzar, and your son just began his 28-day sentence in a military prison for refusing to participate in the operations against the Palestinian protests. And tell us a little bit about your son. What does he do when he's not in the army, and what are his interests? And
he actually deferred his military service by 1 year because he went. He is a graduate of the youth movement Hashomer Hatzair, and he went to be a counselor in the youth movement for a year before his military service. So this is why he is 19 now and only a recent conscript. Usually you go to the army at the age of 18. Right. I would like to mention that the Shomer HaTzair, the youth movement that he is a member of and in whose framework he has been working and also went to the army, is not fully supporting his position. They are sort of stuttering and don't know what to do, because on one hand they belong to that camp that believes, the large peace camp in Israel that truly wants to reach some settlement, that doesn't understand the basic situation. And they still believe that service in the Israeli army is compulsory and under no circumstances should one refuse. On the other hand, they recognize his right as an individual, and I believe that some of their members will come today to a protest vigil which we have in front of the Ministry of Defense this afternoon. Here it's morning now, so in about 6-7 hours.
Is there anything people in the United States, in our listening area here, can they do to show support in any way? Is there a phone number or a place they can email a message, something along those lines?
I think that there are a number of things that can be done. I'm not sure that writing letters to Noam at this point makes sense unless he's sentenced again. The address is on the internet. And I think the most important thing is to break the internal Israeli consensus. And to the extent that you have, and I'm sure you have, Jewish listeners, I think it is very important to show that also among American Jewry, there is no unanimous support to Israel's policies.
Mm-hmm. You must be very proud of your son.
Yes, I am.
Great, thank you. Any anybody, Joan Moosey, anybody want to ask a question? Or
Bill Prop?
Bill Prop, do you have something?
Well, is it true that if one is Orthodox in Israel, that person is exempt from military duty? And if that's the case, then your son made a principal choice with the purpose of, again, enlisting in order to depict the point of view which you've just so eloquently laid out.
Well, the right for conscientious objection is given in Israel only to women. Men cannot be conscientious objectors. But anyway, my son was not a principled conscientious objector. He did not refuse to go to the army. That was not, he's not a pacifist.
And he's
he
not
certainly
Orthodox.
Thinks that under certain circumstances one has to fight and was willing to take the basic training and to serve in the army. This is the basic stance. So we're not talking here about pacifist conscientious objection, but about a political act of conscience, and I don't think that any army is considerate of that.
Stephen Smith, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm curious, Ron. I've been heavily involved with sort of a rising movement here that's with it's kind of surfaced in demonstrations in Seattle and D.C. and across the globe, and they've a lot of them been related to world trade dispute, which maybe you're familiar with, I'm not sure. But
yes.
Out of these, as you may be aware, is one of the greatest things that's come out of it has been the Independent Media Center, which is now spreading very anarchistically and democratically across the globe, and that's how we know about this case. I'm wondering how much, if you have had any contact with that community, or if it's really just budding there, what you know of it. Because I know that from America and Europe, from my involvement in organizing with that, and and actually taking part in the Independent Media Center and these events here, that this is the beginning for us of a community that is boundless as far as national borders are concerned, and it really is the youth right now that is making this, and really sure we feel that there is no need for any of us to be fighting anymore, and that we don't feel as though that there is a difference between being a Jew or an Arab in any sense that, you know, that should create conflict. Or for an American, yeah, I'm speaking as, I'm also used to let you know, I am half Iraqi and half Austrian, and my mother is part Jewish, so I kind of have it all in me. And I was raised by a Jesuit priest in America, so I... the reason I'm asking this is because, you know, there is a youth it's just surfacing. I'm just wondering, you know, that wants to transcend all these differences, and how apparent is that?
I think it's very important. I think that, you know, it's a great project, and I hope it spreads. I must admit that I only learned about it now after my son refused to do that through the activities around the case. And I'm a pretty good example of a maybe partly passive left activist in Israel.
Right.
So, no, the answer is it hasn't spread here yet in any significant way, but I am sure that this eventually will happen.
Right. Well, Hu Yad Hashem Bokov Shu Migdalor. That's like your son, right?
Right.
It means it's a song, it's an old Jewish song called Migdalor, it's a lighthouse.
Yes.
And just comparing his son or that kind of an action as being like a beacon. That's what
this
I'm saying.
Little light of mine.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Ron Kuzar. Maybe you want to sum up or any last messages to our listening audience here in New York on WBAI in New York?
I just hope that through you, perhaps, that you are part of the global effort to stop this madness and to start coming to terms with the fact that we have to give the Palestinians all their rights, and then there will be peace here, and we'll have time also to deal with deeper social issues.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time.
Good luck to your son, Noam.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Hey, listening to